Hello, 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 my lovelies. So welcome to, well, welcome back, hopefully, to the Effed Up True Crime Podcast. So today I am doing it out in my living room because my bedroom, where I usually do it, is freezing and my office is under construction. So if you hear a child come in or out, please excuse me. It is now the school holidays, so it's going to be a bit difficult to get things done, but we will get there. Anyway, so if you've only just come across this channel, be sure to pop over to any social media site and give us a look. It would be great if you could also give us a like and a share. It would very, very much be appreciated. So even though I will be putting up a few podcasts here and there over the next few days, next week, I'm not sure on what day, because this is going to be a long one and in depth. It's a case that I'm actually writing a book on, and I have the family involved. So with this case, I'll be uploading more than one episode because it's gonna take some time. But it'll be dedicated to the death of Floridian musician Taylor Ann McAllister. Taylor was 22 with her whole life ahead of her. When she died, she was very talented, and I will also upload some of her songs and videos to the social media pages for you to see. She was a stunning girl. Look, by the coroner, her death was deemed a homicide, but the St. Petersburg police went ahead and treated it as an overdose. And I have the voice recordings and interviews to prove this. So that's why some of them go for 40 minutes. So that's why we will cut and paste what we can. But it's going to be very in depth. And also, it's going to be graphic. And I will be putting the crime scene images up. Hopefully, if you don't want to see them, the Facebook cover where you can reveal, hopefully, that'll be put on there. Just in case you don't want to see the crime scene. The family wants them shown to the world. They want people to wake up and to try and help us get her case looked at. It was a 2016 case in December, right before Christmas, and it's now deemed a cold case, and the St. Petersburg police do not want a bar of it. The DA has been ignoring me for weeks now, not days, it was, yeah, for weeks. The county clerk's office is trying to stop me from getting the rest of the information on these cases. So there is an active, put a stop to anything coming out, but as I have found. So I hope you join us for that one. And so today we're covering the Juan Rodriguez case, the father that had left his children in the car when he went to work last year. So in upstate New York, Rodriguez went, he dropped off his two older children at school, at daycare, in the morning of July 26th, 2019. Rodriguez then drove to work, where he parked his car outside and locked the doors. So it sounds like a really typical day. However, it was on this day that Juan Rodriguez, who is now 39 years old as of 2020, had a lapse, and he suffered from what they call forgotten baby syndrome. So, forgotten baby syndrome refers to a parent who accidentally leaves a child or a baby locked in the car, and on most occasions has tragic results. It happens when parents are focused, or people are focused, on future tasks instead of present tasks. which can be absolutely devastating for the child involved. Of course, not only the nation, but the world is divided on whether this is a true phenomenon or not. Honestly, I don't have a personal opinion as to whether it's real or a real syndrome or not. And I don't think I should judge on the syndrome, not the case, until more studies are done. But then again, I'm a mother that always has the child's needs at the forefront of my mind. So it's not to say that fathers don't, but a lot of the time a mother does everything automatically. We're on autopilot, especially when we have more than one child to care for. It just becomes a routine. It just becomes, this is it. This is what time, what day. That if we don't have routine, it's chaos. And so after dropping off the older children at daycare, tragically, Rodriguez forgot that. Look, their routine was a bit screwed up this day, and I'll go on to explain that. But he forgot his 15-month-old twins, Luna and Phoenix, who were asleep in the car, in their car seats, and they tragically died of heat stroke. As said previously, Rodriguez worked for the VA hospital in the Bronx, and he went on to proceed. He proceeded to work his 8-hour shift that day at the hospital. But it wasn't until his shift was over that he returned to his Honda Accord to go home that he found his deceased babies. Rodriguez was charged with a felony, two counts of felony, felony manslaughter and criminally negligent, on that day, or around that time. He was also slapped with a misdemeanor count of endangering the welfare of a child. So he probably got hit with two of those because they were twins. But it should be known that he is not rejected, nor has he ever fought these charges. He has not gone on to plead guilty like a lot of other people would in this situation, but rather he pled guilty. When you see footage of him, either on news articles or if you get to catch, which I haven't, I've only seen snippets of the Dr. Phil interview that the couple did. You can see that the man is deep in regret and deep in heartache. To everyone surprised, and including my own, his wife Marissa has stood by his side. She has gone on to forgiven him for the deaths of the children, which I applaud her for. Because I couldn't have. I know I couldn't have. Rodriguez was then released on $100,000 bail, and when he left the jail, he was actually met by not only his wife but his family from both sides, and they took him into to their open arms and shown nothing. They've shown nothing but love and support towards him. Now, there's been a lot of stories we've heard of this kind, splashed across our screens, news articles, news outlets, YouTube, where a child has either died from being locked in a car or has been extremely dehydrated by being locked in a car. And the majority of the time, it is deliberate. But in the last week or so, we've had the case in Tulsa where 31-year-old Dustin Lee Dennis left his two children in the car to die, which is one of the headlines. But it gets a little messed up, and I'll explain why. So in the news reports on this, the news reports on this case are confusing to say the least. But I was on a true crime page the other night only to see that Dustin's sister was on there defending him, which most siblings would do for one another. But at the same time, when being asked for details, she kept changing the story about what actually happened. And she says it's according to her brother. So she claimed that Dustin left the children in the house while he drove to the corner store, which she told what like it was a normal everyday thing to do. And keep in mind, these two children are under the age of 5. They're 3 and 4. So yeah, that's not a normal thing to do, not even to the corner store. But she went on to claim that he went to the store, came home, and the children were forgotten in the truck. That's the first story we heard from her. But in the same post, she gave us another story. So the second story she gave is that he took the children with him to the store, and somehow after returning, they stayed in the car, which is really odd because he's like he thinks that he took them out and but they got back in. So CCTV footage from the neighbor's house shows the children getting into the truck. But when the truck returns, children aren't seen to exit the vehicle. So that's something else too. But as I said, this is a developing story, and the father could be facing 2 counts of felony murder or manslaughter. No charges have been laid as of today, but if anything does happen, we will come back for a mini-sode and a mini-episode and fill you in. He has been released on bond, though. But there was a third story. So the third story is, I swear to Christ, she must have been drunk or something, because she would state this stuff and then backtrack and say, I didn't say that, even though there were screenshots to say that, dude, you just wrote this. So if going to the store without your children isn't disturbing enough to hear, as a parent myself, the father has also claimed that he fell asleep for between 4 and 5 hours during the day in the house, and that the children were fending for themselves. He also went on to say that out of their own recognizance, I always screw that word up, they climbed into the truck themselves. The bond was only approved because the surveillance footage showed that children getting in the truck on their own and not out. But the reports aren't telling us whether it happened before the father went to the truck, to the shop, after he got back. That's not said right now. So, personally, I still think he should be up on charges. I think he should face consequences for at least, falling asleep for 5 hours when you have children the age of 3 and 4. But as I said, I'm an overprotective mother. That could be the wrong view to have. This is why I am not a DA or a prosecutor, because I couldn't stand back and try to see the logic in it all. Because I'm a mum, I just have everyone charged and off to the death penalty. But we will come back to this story very soon. Dustin's sister is very, very vocal on social media, so I'll be sure to screenshot it, anything that she says in future, and make sure that, oh, something's going on here. Okay, make sure that to fill you in on any rant, especially if it's goes against, or if she gives any more conflicting statements. But going back to the twins case in New York, in my personal opinion, and this is my view only, no one else's, I genuinely believe that Rodriguez, I believe him when he says that he honestly forgot his kids were still in the car when he arrived at work. Now, I don't normally agree with cases like this. I normally be like, oh yeah, that's what he said. But I don't know why in this case and not in the Dennis case, I believe the father. I don't know. It's a gut feeling. But as I said, we'll dive further into the Dennis case soon. But I'll make sure to put a post up letting you know when we do. But even once family and friends believe that it was an honest accident. Rodriguez's sister-in-law gave an emotional interview saying that Rodriguez had called his wife Marissa crying hysterically after he had alerted authorities to the children's demise. Which, imagine having to make that call. That's got to be absolutely heart-wrenching to call a mother. Oh, and but as the father having to say, "I did this," that's going to mess you up for the rest of your life. It has to. But yeah, straight after this, he was taken into custody immediately. That's when it was learned that the routine they usually had was completely messed up that day, because both parents had been suffering from tremendous amounts of lack of sleep due to the fact that the older children had been suffering from ear infections. So for them, it had been a long few nights, a long few days. And also, that day was messed up because Rodriguez, the way he usually takes to work was littered with roadworks and buildings. So he had to also work out how to get to work through a detour. And maybe he just can't do two things at once. I don't know. My husband can't. But with that change routine and with the sleep-deprived brain, I like to call it, unfortunately, these poor babies were left behind. When you read up on the things that happen along with children being in an overheated car, it absolutely breaks your heart because the medical examiners have said that is an absolutely harrowing way to die. It's long and it's excruciating. The symptoms are rapid dehydration, and it also results, because the car is so hot on the inside, of suffocation. So they are gasping for breath. They can't get enough in their lungs. And it's long and slow and just horrid. Just days ago, Juan Rodriguez faced court where he again pleaded guilty to the second degree reckless endangerment charges. And he was sentenced to 1 year conditional discharge. Conditional discharge means that he will not face any further punishment if he doesn't commit any other offences in that time. But if he does commit an offence between now and when the year is up, he will face probably trial and jail time. Look, you could say that he got away with murder, or you can think about it the way I do, because all I see is a father who will be riddled with grief, self-torture, and self-loathing for the rest of his life. And to me, that is a life sentence in itself. Like I said, I'd usually throw the book at people like this, but I do agree with the conditional discharge. In my heart, it's clear that this was not a deliberate, well, murder, I guess, and that it was an honest mistake. With the discharge, I know that I wouldn't have had the courage to fight on. I'm not sure I could make it. I couldn't keep living, I don't think, with the riddling guilt that would wear me down. So I hope he has help. I hope he gets help for coping with that, and I'm sure that he will. But it's very sad, and Luna and Phoenix, I'll put it up on the pages. They were absolutely adorable little babies. Absolutely adorable. And at 15 months, they're just starting to do the milestones, they have been crawling for a bit, but they're starting to walk. They're starting to make sentences, talk, mummy, daddy, and it's a precious, precious age. So it's got to be absolutely heartbreaking for the father, and the mother. I couldn't imagine being as strong as she has been and defending him and standing by his side. That takes one hell of a woman, let me tell you. So as we draw to a close today, I know it's a short one, but oh my goodness, the kids are home. Oh God. I had 5 days of reprieve. 5 days, because my children were home longer than they were meant to be because my daughter's high risk. So until all this COVID's over, so they've been at school 4 days, and now it's the school holidays. So there might be a few mini episodes coming because I can only keep the lounge room quiet for that period of time. I cannot wait for my office to be ready. But yeah, as we draw to a close, I'd like to thank all of you for joining me. In the next couple of days, I'm going to be covering a case of child neglect. This case is happening in real time. It's a father that I actually found in one of the crime pages on Facebook. He was asking what to do because he thinks, and there is a bit of proof that his child has been neglected, abused by her mother. The father, I don't want to put names out there just yet because I'm not sure he wants that. But the father of the child will be joining me later in a live chat. And I will be sure to fill everyone in. Hopefully, we can get him to come onto the podcast so that you can hear the story from his mouth. But he does have a GoFundMe page that we need to help spread because attorneys are just an abomination when it comes to prices. Absolutely disgusting. So, there is a GoFundMe that we will be putting up. And again, thank you for being here with us. And don't forget to check out Effed Up True Crime pages that are on all social media platforms. And thank goodness we're drawing to the close because my 7-year-old just walked in with his iPad and phone pumping. My goodness, so loud. Okay, good night, and we will be back soon to join you. Bye.